And I'm glad that God has brought his word into so many places through the ministry of people. And Peter, you know, German guy working with the Mokulese, he was able to read some Mokulese that he's been translating. And that's wonderful. And each week, Ken Dixon comes and meets with a pastor, Ken, and they are translating as well, with Peter's help as well, each week. And so that's a good thing going on in our own church every week, pretty much. So we're going to be looking at this issue of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, and that these apostles, the early church, the gathering of the people who are following Jesus, they were in place for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were in place and ready to go when the Holy Spirit came down upon them. And I pray that we may all be in place for the Holy Spirit wherever we are, knowing that he can come and meet us there. So the apostles were told to stop looking up into the clouds in Acts. You know, don't look up. Go on. You know, you're not to be left here just pondering that the Lord has left you and gone up into heaven, but proceed to your room in Jerusalem and go wait there. There's a place in Jerusalem for you to wait and pray and see what God is going to do with you. Once they were there, they made themselves comfortable. There were men and women in the room together. And then Peter was led among them to talk about taking action to vote and find a replacement for the missing Judas Iscariot. We'll read that in the text. You'll see about that. And so they were busy praying. They were doing abiding prayer, praying fervently, praying steadily, praying constantly. And they were asking God to lead them. And they were abiding in Christ. They were abiding in the presence of Christ, focusing on this Lord Messiah who had led them. And now they wanted God to show them the way. Now, Psalm 143, verse 10 reminds us of how that is in the scripture already. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. That Psalm 143 expresses a prayer that they were praying. May your spirit lead us on level ground. And Psalm 32, verse 8 says it again. The Lord says, I will teach you and guide you in the way you should live and the way you should go. I will watch over you and be your guide. So they were asking God to lead and guide them forward. But where were they to go? What was God's mission? Where was it going to take them? And they were, of course, confirming that God's mission is their mission, but they had to have it revealed to them yet. And they were wondering and pondering how they could pursue God's mission by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what became upon them. They realized they could be empowered to do God's mission because the Spirit would help them do it. So let's pray a moment, and then we'll read this passage in Acts 1. Dear Lord, thank you for your Spirit that was poured out and allowed them to speak in tongues they didn't know. Thank you for the tongues that people do know, the mother tongue, the heart language of a whole variety of people. There were many languages we did not hear. But right here in this place, Lord, we are a community of nations already, coming from very different backgrounds and cultural settings. And we thank you that you have made us into a family of faith, and that here we are united in Jesus Christ. And we are also praying, Lord, how can we further on in your mission? How can we continue to do your will in the power of the Holy Spirit? We're asking you to guide us, Lord, and that your Spirit will lead us in a level ground. And, our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. This we pray, and pray that the Scriptures may help us and empower us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the Scriptures is Acts 1, 12 to the end, and then a few verses of Acts 2. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city, so they were nearby. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. That's 11 people. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, and his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out." It's a gory passage to read. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's there. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language, there in Jerusalem, we hear about it, Alkaldama, that is, field of blood. "For," said Peter, "it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.'" So Peter is beginning to realize the scriptures are going to tell him what's going on and where to go. And the Holy Spirit is reminding him of these texts. And so in verse 21, "Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." They're going to be witnesses. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Now, when the Bible uses different names, you realize that they're in a multilingual setting already. The common language they live in is Greek. They know Aramaic. You know, that's the language Jesus probably spoke. There's Hebrew. There's Latin spoken by the Romans. And there are many other tribal languages. I'm sure they heard Arabic regularly as those people came from the deserts with their camels. So there are many different languages. So when sometimes a person gets different names because they're really known in different ways. Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles, Matthias. He becomes number 12. And when the day, this is Acts 2 now, verse 1, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." So, as I said, the title of the message is, they were in place. They were in that place for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So, let's be remembering where they came from. So they were together with an angel after Jesus went to heaven, and they had watched him go up. They had watched Jesus go up. And this ascending of Jesus into heaven is actually further proof that he is divine, because this is what is supposed to happen to divine beings. They go up from the earth. Now, whenever somebody in Jesus' day claimed to be divine, one of the kings or the emperors, they would say, "I'm a divine being." He would say, when he died, he's gone up to heaven. He's ascended, you know, as a son of God. They would even call him a son of God. But the difference here is that while others are said to ascend, they claim ascendancy, Jesus was watched. They saw him ascend. And all these witnesses stood there on the top of the mountain and they saw him ascend. It wasn't a deception at all. It was real, Jesus' ascension. So the question is, how is Satan fooling you? Remember that Satan could fool you. Remember that we are even talking about Hendrick talking about an email, and is it a scam or is it real? You know, what's going on here? And you have to discern. You have to discern the same thing. And amongst all these stories of people going and ascending to heaven, Jesus is unique in that he has all these witnesses gathered who then get empowered by the Holy Spirit to give all these languages out, and that is not a fooling by Satan at all. It's God's Holy Spirit. The contrast is Holy Spirit is Satan talking to you. And Satan has a way of getting a soundtrack into your mind. He gets a way of getting a soundtrack into your heart. He is constantly at work trying to deceive, roaring like a lion trying to devour us. Satan's specialty is to make you look at a fake rather than at the real thing. So, but now Jesus is gone. And they are not supposed to stay there, standing there staring, but they're to go to Jerusalem, and they're to be there waiting and watching and praying to receive the promised gift. They're praying, they're waiting, they're trusting the Lord, they're watching, they are praying earnestly, and they are trusting that they are going to discover this gift of the Holy Spirit, which God has promised to them. And so this is what they do. As they're praying all together, the men and women who would follow Jesus, Peter gets inspired by the Holy Spirit to, as they're praying together in unity, to replace Judas's spot. He says, we need to be 12, not 11. We need to have the full number of 12. And they vote by lot. And as it says, they drew lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was counted with the 11 apostles as number 12, because there's a text in Isaiah 49, verse 8, which says this. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances. When God is promising to Israel, he's going to restore them, he's going to fill them with a great blessing, and he's going to establish his covenant through the Spirit. They needed to number 12. As the 12 tribes of Israel were establishing a covenant with God, now they needed to be 12 apostles. And interestingly enough, if you read Revelation, 24 elders are around the throne of God. Well, that's the 12 of Israel, plus 12 to represent all the Gentiles, all the languages. It's an interesting number. So the inheritance of Israel will be established by this group of people, these 120 people in the upper room who are going to receive the Holy Spirit. And they are being prepared, the 120 praying, Mary and the Marys and the other women and the men and the 12 apostles, they're being prepared for the promised encounter with the Holy Spirit that Jesus had told them about. Jesus said, when I go up into heaven, you will receive power. This is the great promise of Acts 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be able to go forward in God's mission. And so they are right now in the right place to receive that power. These 120 in the room, as Acts 2, verse 1 says, they're there in that place, and they're ready for the move of God in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And in this moment, when they're praying together, they are expecting to be visited by the good grace of God. They're waiting there for the Father's promise to come true. They are expectant. They are filled with longing for the Lord to fill them. And they have a recognition that from God's fullness, we all have received grace upon grace. God is a giver of grace. And they are in unity in Christ. They have followed Jesus, and they are still the Jesus people, so to speak. And they have a unity in Christ. And they are unified in trusting in Jesus Christ. And that unity and that trusting is evident, and it's important. They are not scattered all over, but are ready and waiting in anticipation of what God has in store for them. As Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, God has more in store for you than you can even imagine. And I think those apostles, when they're on top of the hilltop seeing Jesus going to heaven, they had no idea. They couldn't imagine how empowering the Holy Spirit would be when he came and he shook the house and the tongues of fire were on their head and they began to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all these gathered people, about 3,000 in the city of Jerusalem, and they could communicate in all these languages they had never learned. Now, to replace Judas, they needed someone who had been a witness, a credible witness to everything Jesus said and did, and who had been disappointed by his death. They had to be one of the people disappointed by his death and surprised by his coming alive again, the resurrection. This man needs to have seen the baptism and anointing of Jesus by the voice of God when he was baptized by John the Baptist. The heavens opened, and the voice said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And they saw the Spirit come like a dove upon Jesus, and he began his ministry. The man who is going to be appointed by the casting of lots, whom Peter's talking about, had to have seen all of this, and he had to have been there going all the way through to his going up into heaven. He was on the mountaintop watching Jesus ascend and disappearing into the clouds at the ascension. And then this man could provide a strong testimony, a firsthand account of God and work in Jesus Christ. That's who Matthias is. And that's who all the apostles are. And that's who all of these 120 disciples, men and women, are. They are all giving firsthand account of what Jesus did and said and what happened to him. And they're going to be able to give a strong testimony to the glory of God found in Jesus Christ and be ready to be his witness in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The word of our testimony of the apostles will be that they have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they have loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation talks about those who were even martyrs. But they will be ready. We learn through this passage that the work of the Holy Spirit, the moving of God's Holy Spirit, touches any man or woman in their heart and in their mind. It can be addressed to anyone. The moving of God's Spirit can happen in any place, at any time, with anyone. To convince them of the power of God present in Jesus Christ. You see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let it be done to me according to your will. You can say that to your word, O God. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? In Ephesians 2, verse 7, of which I, Paul, became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Paul received that power. Any believer receives that power. And the working and moving of the Holy Spirit inspires you to then love Jesus and worship him. And he allows us the capacity to communicate the truth of God into any heart language. That truth that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the way this happens is through the power of the Spirit making the Word come alive, making the stories of Jesus become real to us, and make us want to walk and follow him along his path. Who is this Jesus? Is he really who he means to say he is? He is claiming divinity, and they want to stone him. In the Gospel of John, they want to stone him a number of times because he keeps saying that he's God. That's who he is. And you need to learn how to speak to another person in their heart language. In the heart languages, which we heard, you know, whenever they were born, the language of your mother. And my mother's native language was Dutch. She was born in the Netherlands. I'm not a native Dutch speaker, but I do the best I can. And yet, you know, Crystal in Germany heard her mother speak in German. Yuko in Japan would have heard her mother speak in Japanese. Amy, mother in Korean, and all these other languages from all the islands. Panapayan, Kosrayan, Chukis. What is your heart language? The Holy Spirit will get to you and speak to you in that language. And he wants you to learn it and realize it, that anyone you meet has a heart language too that you need to learn about. And this is called incarnational ministry. It's what Jesus did. He came down from heaven to be one of us. And he was born one of us. And that's incarnational. The power of the incarnation allows us to learn to live in a local culture and learn how they communicate with each other, so you can help them come to terms with what God wants and not what man wants. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak, because the Holy Spirit wanted them, wanted everyone who came to that gathering with Peter preaching to hear what God had to say to them. That what God wanted them to learn and not what man wants. Learning to want what God wants. Now, we need, all of us, to learn what the children were singing last week. Last week, they were singing to us, saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength." We were singing that with them. Remember, we sang that too. So we need to learn that, because that is our need. The heart need of every person is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and to do unto others as you would have them do to you. The kids saying that, and they're remembering the words, even although they're at church, Sunday school right now, or at children's church, I should say. So at Pentecost, because there were so many gathered, 3,000 people to listen to Peter and the others, and there was so much to share, the Holy Spirit came with great and evident power, a strong wind, the tongues of flame. There was so much to learn in so little time. There was so much to say, and there were so many people, that the Holy Spirit came with great and evident power. The strong wind shaking the house, the tongues of flame on the head, the message into many languages, to get the word out, to win many over for our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring many to Jesus. And so it happened there. And then, of course, the mission of God was being fulfilled as people scattered throughout the world, and they brought the message of Jesus to us wherever we encountered it. And so Acts 2, 7 and 8 says the people responded utterly amazed. They asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? They're from the countryside? They're redneck people from Galilee? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" They were amazed. And they were in wonder. And what they were realizing is this, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now this, I've written up there in New Testament Greek, because that was the language the New Testament is written in originally. And I'm going to read this for you, just because of the languages we've heard today. "Hautos gar hega nesen hautios. Ton kosmon, hosta ton wion, ton monogene, edoken, ina nos," I'm going to turn around, it's easier for me to read, "ha pisteon eis hauton me apoletai al eke zoen aeonian." That last word, the two words are life eternal, life eternal. And so that is what God was able to do, put the language in a way that could be heard and communicated to so many. Look at us now. We have just celebrated the fact that we are Chamorro. We are statesiders. We are Filipinos. We are Koreans, Japanese, Micronesian, from Chuuk and Pohnpei and Kosrae, and sometimes even Yap and Palau. And we are connected to Vanuatu through Rose Ludwig, And the Ludwigs, one of them was born in Fiji. And now Merlene says, you know, she's had a death in the family in the Cook Islands. And I said, where are the Cook Islands again? Oh, they're on the way there near New Zealand. And we are represented by all these different people groups because God wants his message disseminated throughout the world. We're part of that mission. May God bless us in it. Amen. Dear God, thank you so much for us celebrating the power of the Holy Spirit. May you continue to communicate to us the wonderful message of Scripture. And may you help us all to be having revealed to us the ways in which we can better plug into your mission, O God. Help us to discern your leading and guiding, Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, minister to us and help us be affirmed in what we believe and what we express. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we sing in response, God has spoken by his prophets, a song of response.